So, hello everybody. My name is Jesus Pelay. I am a developer in the Hedi programming language, and I also a teacher in the University of Carabobo, which is located in Venezuela, where I come from. Here is also Pink there. She's a teacher, and she's also, she teaches with Hedi, so she will also be answering your questions. And today, we will be talking a little bit about the Hedi programming language, what it is, why it's useful over its alternatives, at least for our use cases, and also how you might get involved with a project. So let's begin. Okay. So what is Hedi? And I will summarize it really fast for those of you who are also jet lagged like me. And these are the three core concepts of Hedi. So Hedi is a gradual, multilingual, textual programming language built for teaching. So this is what our entire deal is about. If someone outside asks you what is Hedi, you can tell them that it's gradual, multilingual, and you can use it in the classroom. And it's a bit of a mouthful, but I will be explaining each one of these concepts along the talk. But first, let's talk a little bit about our misconceptions when it comes to teaching programming. Because us as programmers, we don't really are that good when we want to teach programming. Because we have this series of misunderstanding of how people understand things. And one of them is that compilers are friends. And that is a lie made by the compiler PR group. The compiler is not your friend. It is a tool, and especially not friend for a kid. Because the compilers are made for professionals, and the error messages are very much tailored for adults who are working with the language. So when a kid sees an error message that is meant for an engineer, it is really intimidating. And also, this second issue is also stems from the fact that programming languages are made for adults and engineers. And people think often that that is not really a problem, that syntax is not really an issue. And one of the core things of Hedi is that syntax really poses a barrier for, an entry-level barrier for novices. 50% of, there's a study that says that 50% of programs submitted by novices have syntax errors. And 75% of programs submitted by the weaker students have errors. So this is not a kid that is having fun reading the error messages and fixing them. This is a kid that is trying stuff around, trying to make the program work. So it's really a really tall barrier for someone to get into programming when you have the syntax right away. And the other misconception is that you mostly learn alone. We often, when we think about learning programming, we think about someone who is sitting in front of a computer alone in the room. And that was the case 20, 30, even 10 years ago. But today, there are many schools that teach programming. So now we also have to think about programming as a discipline that you can learn in the classroom. And these were some of the misconceptions that the creator of Hedi, Felina Hermans, had when she was asked to teach a class of high schooler programming. Felina, she is a researcher from the Netherlands. She has a PhD in computer science, but she was teaching high schoolers as a Saturday activity. And now she thought, okay, fine, I know programming. I can teach programming. And she, for that, she used Scratch. And Scratch is a great tool. It's a great language. Scratch is a visual-based block language where you only, for programming, you only drag stuff around. By dragging stuff around, you have a program. For example, this one right here makes the cat move around and play meow meow sounds. And kids, they love making the cat do meow sounds. However, as time went on, the kids grew up and they said to Felina, "We like Scratch, but we don't like a toy anymore. You know, this is like a toy. You drag stuff around. It's like making a puzzle. We want real programming languages. They want that programmers use, the ones that can get me a job." Because these were students from a technical school. So they were very much interested in learning programming as a way to get jobs in the future. And Many people learn programming this way. Not everyone learns programming now because a passion of computing, but because it is a really viable way to get out of poverty, to get a job. So now she said, yeah, that's fine. I can do that. Let's teach you Python. And Python is also a great language. It is certainly easier, the syntax is certainly easier than the likes of Java, C, or C++. But still, it's very much a language made for professionals. Error messages are for professionals, and the syntax is a barrier right away. As you can see here, if I'm trying to teach a classroom how to write this, I would say, yeah, kids, today we are learning to print some text. And for some students, that is not really that exciting to just print text on a screen. But you got along. We are going to print text, and to do that, you write print, and then you write a parenthesis. To write a parenthesis, you have to do Shift 8 in the keyboard. And then a quotation mark. Yeah, the quotation mark is right beside the enter, so you have to do Shift that, keep it pressed, write the text, and again. So as you can see, the kids at this level, they might not have the proficiency in typing or proficiency in knowing how to type stuff or clicking and selecting text. So that is also a barrier for them. But let's assume that the kids do it. And then you have text on a screen. Awesome. But what about some kid makes an error? For example, this kid, they wrote an uppercase P. And for them, this will look pretty fine. Perhaps this kid does not know that the red squiggly line means that they have an error. So they try to run it. And they are faced with this. A really ugly error message, you know? It says, traceback, most recent call last, a file and a path. And then in the end, it says, name error, name print is not defined, did you mean print? I know for a kid, this is really intimidating stuff. The kids probably didn't even read the complete error message. They will say, teacher, teacher, what is happening here? And if they read it, and if they know English with another barrier, because Python is an English-based language. So if the kid does not know English, there is no clue that they will understand this. But you know, they read it, they fix it, it's fine. But now you also have this mistake. Now this kid switched around the parentheses and the quotation mark. And now it says, syntax error. Parentheses was never closed. And they might say, yeah, I closed it. And what the heck is a syntax error? And now, I have this program, and it looks perfect, except for the squiggly line that it tells us, adults, that there is an error, but the kid doesn't see it. And now they try to run it. And it says, indentation error, unexpected indent. Teacher, what is an indent? Now, you don't want to be explaining all of this to a kid. This is just the first class. Remember, they are just learning to print text on a screen. And they are faced with that complicated error messages and syntax element that has to be placed exactly as the programming language expected. Otherwise, you don't have anything. And what an ugly error message. So this was also a problem when she tried to teach concepts. Because, for example, if I'm showing this to my students, I want them to understand the underlying concept of repetition. I want them to know that this right here will say, you will print 0, 1, 2, and 3. But they are not seeing that. They are seeing that they have to put a colon and brackets and spaces and put it in such a way that is perfect for the computer to understand. And the kids, they think, why is not the computer as smart to understand what I'm throwing at it, you know? There is artificial intelligence. They can write stuff. Why can't it understand a simple program that I'm making? So we see here that syntax is creating cognitive overload. So we humans have a limited space in our minds to work. You know, we have a small amount of short-term memory. And when you are learning a programming language, your short-term memory is filled with the symbols. So you're going to have a short-term memory, so a spot for where the variable is, and another spot for where the bracket is, and the name of the programming, and the name of the function. So it really is complicated for the kids to understand syntax, and on top of that, understand the programming concept that you are trying to teach. But now, this is not only a problem that us programmers face, because there is also other disciplines that are very hard to understand. We have language and mathematics, and those are famously hard disciplines. But we don't teach them right away. You don't expect a kid to understand the Riemann hypothesis. We do it step by step. For example, if I'm teaching language to a kid, and the kid writes these letters, I don't say to the kid, this is a really ugly letter, this is an ugly A, this doesn't make any sense. No, you tell them, this is really good, you wrote the A, you wrote the I, the N, and you are beginning to understand that. And then you tell them that the words, mix the vowels and the consonants, they make words. And then you put more complicated stuff on top of that. And then you have that you can have uppercase letters and punctuation marks. And then you end up with an understandable sentence. And now the rules change gradually. You didn't start with the whole thing all at once. You were changing the rules little by little, so the kid could understand all the steps. Now, changing the rules creates also a little bit of cognitive overload. But that very much makes up for the fact that they are understanding each one of the concepts individually to then learn the other one. And they are learning on top of those foundations. And this is also the case for mathematics. If I'm trying to teach a kid to subtract numbers, I can tell them that you can't subtract a greater number from a lesser number because they don't know that negative numbers exist. So I can tell them 5 minus 3 equals to 2, and 3 minus 5 equals to 0. But then I change it. And I tell the kid, actually, 3 minus 5 equals minus 2. And now that you just changed the algorithm of subtraction a little bit. They didn't have to take all in advance that there are negative numbers and positive numbers. And the same happens for division. You first tell them that 8 divided by 3 is 2, reminder 2. And then you introduce the concept of fractions. And now it changed a little bit. And now 8 divided by 3 is 2 and 2 thirds. And the same happens for, and also 8 divided by 3 is 2.6666. So as you see, the same operation for the kid had 3 forms, and it became more complex as time went on. Now, this is the idea. We can do that for programming too. And that is how Hedy was born, the gradual programming.